problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Action, please.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson. Inspired by that same French excellence, it's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So
cut.
Paul Masson soup.
Okay, and... are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Kuhn. So happy to be back here with you. It's another week, baby. Summer's here. Let's keep it on rolling. I hate summer. If you live in Florida, I think you kind of just, you know it's summer all the time here, as they say. But no, it's not, because it's nice in January and February, and then maybe even into March. Summer... is pure as hell on earth here in Florida. It's hot. There's bugs everywhere. I can't keep them out of my dang apartment. I leave a dang banana peel in my garbage, and next thing I know, there's covered in bugs when I get back. How are they getting in? I don't know. I know there's old windows in here, but come on. There are bugs, and there's a screen there. I don't know. You walk outside, and it's hell on earth here in Florida. Anyway, hope you're doing well. I'm doing great. This week we have Anna Hummel. She is, again, from 102.5 The Bone. I know we're kind of running the gauntlet here, but they're all interesting people, and I like them, and I work with them too. So I wanted to talk to her because she has a podcast called The Sex I Am Not Having, or I'm Not Having. And she's doing that and then doing the radio thing. So and she's just a nice girl, and she's fun to talk to. So I wanted to chat with her. I got to do it actually at the production studio at Cox Media Group down there. So the sound quality is going to be immensely better. I was listening to it, and wow, what a difference. You can really hear my stumbling even more so than usual. So that's exciting. I'll be up momentarily here, but let me say thank you first to Tap House 61, 2061 Central Avenue, here in St. Petersburg. Check them out, taphouse61.com, new look, same great beers. Thank you, Joe. I love you very much, and appreciate you being a sponsor here. I always tell these guys, hey, tell me something to read, and I will do so. And they say, okay, and then they don't. So thank you to Truvy Salon and Spa. Chrissy Parker down there doing her hairs, and a whole bunch of stuff. She's got a new website up, too, and it looks really nice. Check it out. Truvy is spelled T-R-U-V as in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. Tell her I sent you. Say, hey, Will said you got his haircut here, and he never gets haircuts. That's true. You can make an appointment, 329-9751, area code 727, right here in St. Petersburg, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, St. Petersburg, Florida. Thank you to Florida Patel Law, flpatellaw.com. Cal's a good man with a lot of knowledge, and if you ever want to start a small business, he's the guy to talk to. He's been helping me a lot with this homemade podcast venture that I'm working on. You can give him a call at 727-279-5037. He'll be more than happy to talk to you, free consultation, all that. But check out his website, flpatellaw.com. And finally, I was talking to Christine today from K9 Holistics. She goes, I don't know what to do for, I told her, you know, she's actually one of the ones who go, yeah, I'm going to write something for you to read. And I said, okay, good. And she's been having a heck of a time with it. She's like, I feel like it's supposed to be funny. And I'm like, well, not necessarily. It's kind of up to you. But she will teach you how to speak dog to your dog. That's so she does more than just training. Of course, you're going to learn commands. You're going to learn how to keep your dog under control. But it's more in that, you know, natural type of way. You know, it's K9 Holistics. K9holistics.com. If you got an out-of-control dog, Christine will make it not that anymore and make it a respectable part of the dog community here in St. Petersburg. And that's important. Your dog represents you here. You can bring your dog anywhere in this city. And you want that dog to behave in a pleasant manner and not bug anybody. And Christine is how that can happen. So check her out, K9holistics.com. Very good. If you need a sticker, I still got a bunch. The homemade broadcast at RadioSt.Pete.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, check it out. Email me there, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. And go check out the website, hmbradio.com. Catch up on past episodes, et cetera, et cetera. Social media is all there. HMB Radio on Facebook, Radio St. Pete on Facebook, home_made_man, and Radio St. Pete on Twitter and Instagram. So check us out there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Keep up on iTunes, Stitcher. Leave a review. Takes a minute, really helps us out. All right, let's get into, let's talk with Anna. Anna, I said, what's the over-under and how many times I'm going to call you Anna? And she goes, she was very understanding, but I want to, you know, say people's names right. You know, you want to do that out of a show of respect. Anna Hummel on this week's The Homemade Broadcast.
All right, we're rolling.
We're rolling, we're ready to go now.
Yes.
I kind of like this where we doesn't know, like, I don't know, or you're not supposed to know that we're going.
Okay.
We just kind of
even though
into,
I press play.
You press play.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm a little out of my comfort zone right now, too.
Okay.
This is strange.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done it outside of my apartment.
Your own personal recording studio.
Yes.
How does it feel? Does it feel sterile?
I like this. Yeah, it does. But okay. I kind of like it. I think that it's ideal for people to work outside of their home.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to be a trend that people are doing the opposite. So now people are working from home.
Right.
And living at home. And I don't think that's good.
With their parents.
With their parents a lot of times. Do you live with your parents? You don't live with your parents.
No, my parents are divorced in California. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
When did they divorce?
They divorced about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a grown adult when they got divorced.
So I wonder how that affects it, because my parents are divorced too, but mm-hmm. I was 2 years old. So I have no connection to them even being together.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, my parents' divorce, like, really messed me up, I think. It was probably the single most traumatizing event of my life. And that's really sad because, you know, people go through way worse things. But for me, that was really tragic.
Did you know it was coming?
No, that was the worst part.
Well, they were just really good at hiding it.
No, my dad didn't even know. Like, my mom wasn't happy.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's
one of those.
Took off.
Yeah, we got to a dark place real quick. I'm like, are we going to talk about St. Pete? But yeah, I'm good now. You know, there's still some hurt feelings and things. But for the most part, I mean, right after they got divorced, I moved to Michigan, went to grad school, was there for 4 years, and now I'm here. So I've been on my own probably for the last 10 years or so, like a gypsy, just moving around everywhere.
Yeah, you kind of have a unique story. The reason I thought of you to do this is because, well, not only are you, you know, you're doing radio and trying to pursue this as a
career.
Attempting,
yes.
But I always find these stories fascinating where people just pick up and go across the country.
Yeah.
So you did that from twice.
I did that like three times.
Three times.
Mm.
Okay, so tell me about number one. I guess we'll start with that.
Well, I was born in Israel, moved to the States when I was a baby with my parents to California. Then from there, I stayed in California or in San Diego till I was 18, went to college at UC Santa Barbara, which is about 4 hours north of San Diego, so nothing too crazy, but I wasn't living at home anymore. After that, I ended up, fun fact, trying out for the LA Laker girls.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't make it.
Bummer.
So I went to Australia because clearly that was the only other option.
Sure.
Yeah. So I just kind of took off. And that was probably the most massive move, obviously. I just I had an idea while doing laundry once. I was talking to a girl who I didn't even know that well. And I was just telling her, like, you know, I got to get out of here. This was in Santa Barbara. And she was like, you know, Australia is a cool place. I went there. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. I'm going to do that. And then I just did. So about 2 months later, I was on a plane. I was there for about 13 months. So it was crazy, but it was fun.
Where the heck do you get the money to go to Australia?
I had a bunch of money saved up. I had worked that whole summer at a summer camp, and I had been working steadily a little bit before that. My parents helped me out a little bit, but I mean, as soon as I got there, I got a job. So it wasn't like I was just traveling around. I was, you know, there working, but you know, it took a few weeks for me to get on my feet, but once I did, I was good.
Did you, you were born in Israel. Isn't there mandatory military service? Did you have to do that?
Yeah, which is why my parents were reticent to have me visit. Well, around the time I was 18. Now I'm too old. I'm, you know, 24 and a half, 30, but, yeah, at the time that I was 18, they thought if I went back because I'm a citizen, I might get conscripted into the military. So I avoided it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty sexy when you see the girls with machine guns walking around. That's a good
look. I'm not a huge fan of guns. I understand their purpose. I'm pro Second Amendment with obviously, you know, more regulations and restrictions and background checks. But I'm not anti-gun, but I personally do not like to be around guns.
Right.
I went to a shooting range one time and I ended up in tears in about 30 seconds.
It's scary.
I didn't like the sound of it.
Yeah.
I just to think that the person next to me, if they were, you know, mentally unstable, they could just turn around and that was the end of my life.
Sure.
You know, which is bizarre because, you know, I'll get into a plane and I don't know the pilot, or on a bus, I don't know the driver. But for some reason with guns, it really freaks me out.
Yeah, I think maybe if you were, you know, had a maniac pilot, you might have the opportunity to stop him. Right.
Right.
You got to go down and hit the ground.
Sure. Right.
But with a gun, that's it. It could just be that's it.
Yeah. And there's like a checks and balances sort of where there's like a co-pilot in there, or like with a bus, you know. I mean, you're pretty big, so if you run into anything, it's probably going to hurt the thing you're running into.
Mm-hmm.
But with a gun, it freaked me out. I've never been back to a gun range. My dad owns guns. Like, I just can't stand them. I don't like them.
Yeah, yeah. I worry about that, too. That is, and you hear about stories. I think there was one recently at Shoot Straight where mm-hmm. some, but these are the weird stories, too, because apparently it was some dude who just met this other dude down on the beach.
Yeah.
And then was like, hey, you want to go shoot some guns? And the guy was like, sure. And then they went. And then the guy shot him and shot himself.
Yeah.
Maybe just shot himself.
I don't know. But I believe there was an incident in Sarasota where someone was teaching a class and they assumed they needed a volunteer. And the guy teaching the class had a loaded gun and didn't know and shot the volunteer and dead. Like, it was like a 75-year-old woman or something. I don't know if you heard about this. This was probably like 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
But freak accidents happen. I understand the purpose for guns. I just personally do not like being around them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, how many times am I going to call you Anna?
That's
today?
Okay. I'll respond to either.
I know. I think it must be like a Southern thing, and then you know, maybe yours is West Coast bourgeoisie pronunciation.
My great grandmother, who I was named after, was Anna. But my parents are like, eh, that sounds like, we don't like the way that sounds. It has a tinny
too
sound.
Southern. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds too like, as I mean, as a fellow Jew, you know the word goy. Like, it sounded very goy. So my parents were like, we will call her Anna.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
With a longer vowel sound. So
yeah, I have a friend who is Helena, and I called
Helena.
Her Helena forever.
And she never corrected you?
Nope. And then I'm like, one day she told me, and I was like, I've known you for 10 years. Why didn't you just tell me earlier? She's like, well, you know, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah,
but
it's
I'm
like
yeah,
once
but
they
that's
start.
Your name.
I know,
just
yeah.
You correctly.
Yeah. And it's funny. I think I was talking to you about how JP had incorrectly said my name. Was that with you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I corrected him on my name. I think I phone screened for that show, JP and Roger and JP, for one day. And I corrected them on my own name. And JP got really offended by that. And I'm like, really? Why is this offending you? It's my name. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, I'm getting all angry. I'm like, well, it's my name. Like, come on.
Right. Yeah, I guess it could be one of those things that could be taken, you know, like, oh, geez, sorry.
It was more... Yeah, it was more like, if I don't correct him now, then it's going to be really weird when I correct him in 30 minutes. Or it's going to be really weird when I correct him tomorrow. It's like, why not just out of the gate?
Get out of the way now.
Yeah, and I was polite about it. I understand my name is phonetically spelled Anna. Like, my parents screwed up. They should have spelled it with one N and not two. But, you know, now I just got to correct everybody all the time. But I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the deal.
I've been called worse things.
At least your last name, Hummel, is pretty normal.
Yeah, it's pretty normal. You can just sound it out, so.
My last name is the worst in the world.
What is your last name?
It's Kuntz, but it's spelled K-U-N-C-Z, which can often be mistaken for a part of the female anatomy.
Yes.
Especially if you're a teenage boy and you're in high school and want to be a jerk.
Right.
Yeah. So the first day of school was always torturous. For me.
Is that like Eastern European?
I think it's Hungarian.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I asked my grandmother one time, what are we? Like, what's our... And she goes, I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Like,
I don't know.
Okay.
Cool. Well,
I guess you can get those DNA tests now where they're like...
The 23andMe or something.
Yep. It'll tell you exactly what you are.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll do that one
day. I'm full Jew, so...
100%.
Yeah, I think both the lineages on my paternal and maternal side both end up in like Lithuania sort of area.
Okay.
I look really dark. I look like someone slept with an Arab in my family.
Yes.
My parents and my sister do not look this ethnic. I don't know a better word, but they look like normal white people. So I don't know what happened. I came out with crazy hair, a big Jew nose, and tan skin. So who knows?
Yeah, I thought maybe since you just got to Florida, you're just in the sun
a lot. Yeah, I mean, I did lose a lot of this color when I was in Michigan, as one might imagine. I'd never seen my skin turn that color of white. But I'm originally from California, so I always have like a healthy tan. And then I went to Michigan, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm kind of back at my default.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So people can hear you on the BDRS from time to time here on
from
the
time
bone,
to
102.5
time.
The Bone.
Yeah.
And then you also host a podcast called The Sex I'm Not Having.
The Sex I'm Not Having. And to be honest, to be fair, I haven't put up an episode in quite a few months, but I'm trying to get back on that.
So
and that's why I'm here with you.
Yeah, tell me about this program that you started.
This was probably about 3.5 years ago in Detroit. Nobody would put me near a mic. I was working at a radio station out in Detroit, and I realized that the only way that I was going to get near a mic is if I put myself on a mic.
Yep. That's
you know,
what I, that's how
right,
I started.
As one would do, right? And so I hadn't been dating anyone for, I would even probably say years, really. I'd never had a boyfriend before. I definitely wasn't having sex, and I was thinking about having a podcast where I just talked about my disgruntled dating life and kind of incorporated some of the things that I went to grad school for. I went to grad school for evolutionary psychology, which is even less lucrative than radio when, when you know. So I started talking about, you know, mating and dating and things like that and just kind of peppered in, you know, personal anecdotes and stuff. And we were thinking, we threw back a few names for the podcast and then... I remember one day just saying like, oh, well, let's just talk about the sex that, you know, other people are having, the sex I'm not having. And then I'm like, ooh, that's kind of a catchy bumper sticker title. Let's roll with that. And then it was born.
So did you say you weren't dating anyone for 3.5 years ago?
I mean,
like you never had a boyfriend?
I'd never had a boyfriend. My first boyfriend was when I was 27.
Wow.
And I'm not even, and I'm including like middle school. Like I never went to a dance with a date. I never had a boyfriend like for a week in middle school or a couple months in high school. I went on my first actual date when I was 22. As I was like my last day of college. I went out on my first like legitimate boy picks up girl date when I was 22. And then I never had a boyfriend. And then I moved to Michigan and, you know, kind of happened there about 2.5 years ago.
Why? I mean, what was the deal?
I mean,
you're cute. What's
thanks,
the deal?
I know, right? No, I'm just kidding. For me, I think it was just a combination of bad timing and bad luck. I don't think it was necessarily me or other people. I felt like a lot of times I'd be really into people and they just weren't into me or vice versa. Or There was one guy that I really liked a lot, and he was visiting from Australia and then ended up going back. And so it was just like, a series of bad timing, you know. And if you think about like, oh, well, how'd you meet your significant other? Like when you ask people, say before Tinder days, right? Be like, oh, I went to a party or, you know, I went to this one event and that I met this person through a friend. It's like, what if you never went to that bar? What if you never went to that party, you know, and this relationship grew out of it? So I just think it was kind of like a lot of misconnection sort of a thing. So it just never happened. And I was always on the go. I was always moving around.
Yeah, so. I guess you're moving a lot.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah. So that's kind of what I attribute it to, or what I would like to attribute it to, at least.
Did you ever get into like the online dating, or did you meet a dude?
No, I did Tinder. I mean, that counts, right, as online dating? Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, pretty much what I mean.
Yeah, I'm like, it uses Wi-Fi, so yeah, it's online. I did Tinder. I met my first boyfriend on Tinder, and he was. Good dude. Like, I don't date bad people, I feel, you know. I mean, a lot of times I've heard horror stories where you get surprised and someone is, you know, not who they seem.
Oh, yes.
But for the most part, like, even people I dated more casually than that before, I've always dated good people. And if I found out that they weren't good people at any point, like, I always walked away. Like, I had a dad that loved me. I was never mistreated. I had no baggage of men treating me badly, because at the first sign of, you know, being disrespected or not appreciated, I was like, all right, well, bye. Like, that was it. You know?
Right. Yeah, so that's kind of the I have a friend who told me, a lady friend of mine, like, she's like, you're too good for Tinder. You should get off Tinder. I'm like, you met your boyfriend that you're probably going to marry on Tinder.
Yeah.
And then she went, well, we're the exception, not the rule. I'm like, wait a second. No, you're not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the percentages are. I mean, maybe she's right. You know, she's using her anecdotal evidence here.
Sure.
But I wonder what the percentage of, like, relationships that last longer than 6 months.
Let's say. Of people who met, like, on Tinder?
Because I met my, like, second serious girlfriend on Plenty of Fish, believe it or not, back in the day. I was with her for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to be, but that's a whole other story. But I was. So, I mean, like, I think it can happen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think all the people on there are trash. Because if you say that, like, and you're on there, like, you're part of the trash, right? So.
Well, I fully admit that. And I embrace that.
Yeah, I'm not into, you know, treating people badly. But I would go in there with, like, all the guards up. You know, everybody's trying to get their own, whatever it be, a relationship, a hookup, whatever. So, you know, I would have all the walls up. So that was also, you know, somewhat of an issue, is I had a relatively hard exterior when dating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm kind of at the point now. I'm 32 now. And I'm at the age range where either there's a reason that a lady is single when she's 30, or she's got kids or a divorce or something like that now.
Okay.
So
you mean in terms of, are you single at the moment?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying that the pool of women for you is usually either, like you said, she's crazy, there's a reason why no one's claimed her, or she's already settled down or getting divorced.
Yeah. Or, you know, I don't really have anything against, I like kids.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that I would want to get involved in a serious relationship in a woman with just because I'm so unsettled. If I had, like, a real job where I was, like, you know, could support a family or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my I had a stepdad, so, I mean, I think that's cool that he kind of stepped up and took that role.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could do it
at this
right
point,
now.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not financially stable and, you know, I just don't want to, I'm still kind of partying and having fun, too.
And that's fine. That's fine. And I feel like it's good that you're aware of that. You know, you're not, like, having kids haphazardly, because I feel like that's a larger issue. You know, for me, it's all about where you are mentally. You know, I've seen 23-year-olds who are more mature than 45-year-olds. It just depends on the person, where they are in their lives. I know people who didn't ever have a party phase because they just weren't into that. I know people who never grew out of it and they're in their 50s, you know, so it just depends on the person.
Yeah, it's hard not to kind of feel like, I feel like I've always been a late bloomer in life. So it's weird now seeing my friends getting wedding gowns and, you know, getting ready. I'm going to be in my friend's wedding party. I was my friend's best man last year. And now they just had a baby. So I was scrolling through my Instagram the other day. I'm like, holy crap.
Everyone's getting married.
Like,
I know.
What am I doing? And then you start to compare yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I compare myself to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
Are you hitting the landmarks that you should be hitting?
And I don't know, like, who set these landmarks. I think there's a I know women have a biological clock. I think men do, too.
Not really. I mean, you can probably have kids well into your 60s, 70s.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
Sure, but there's the ability is what I'm saying. So there's less of a time crunch. With women, like, I'm 30 right now. I just turned 30 last month. I've never had a pressure to feel like I have kids. I feel like I'm not particularly maternal by nature. If I didn't have kids, I mean, again, I'm only speaking for me in the current moment. Like, who knows what I'll be saying in 5 years. But as of right now, if I think about my future, if I never had kids, I don't think it would devastate me. I don't think everybody is made or built to be a parent. I don't think everybody should be a parent, you know. I think that if I was, you know, I am with somebody now. I have a boyfriend now. If he really wanted to have kids at some point in the future and I was kind of ambivalent about it, like, I would have kids probably.
It seems like our generation, there's this really, especially women are fighting that. Like, they don't want that. They don't want kids. Most of my friends that aren't, you know, in a relationship go, ugh, stick their, you know, it's gross. Kids are disgusting.
Those are the single women?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I wouldn't want to, I mean, I like to think of myself as a pretty progressive, open-minded person, but when it comes to, like, family and kids, like, I'm pretty conservative, pretty traditional. Like, I would not want to have kids outside of wedlock. I would prefer not to be in that situation. Yeah, I kind of understand I wouldn't say, like, ugh, but for me, I'd be like, oh, that's not for me. Like, if I'm single and in a headspace where I'm not with anybody, kids are definitely not on the menu at all. So
I feel the same way. I would want to be married before I had kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to have kids out of wedlock. I don't need to have a kid just to have a kid. If I find myself single when I'm 40 and I still don't have a kid, that's fine. I'm not having kids then. That's fine.
There's a fight against traditionalism, which is fine. Mm. I don't really mind that, but you have to have something better to replace it with. And I think that if you just look at data, I'm sure that it's online. Kids with two parent households that are married, I'm sure, turn out, you know, classically better.
Well, I think it depends on the quality of the marriage. But for, you know, argument's sake, if it is a good, supportive home, absolutely, yes.
So I don't know. I mean, it seems like that's just a big thing that everybody's fighting this traditionalism.
Yeah, I'm all about to each their own. Like, if I have no qualms with women who want to stay at home and have babies and be mothers and never into the workforce, like, that's their prerogative. If they want to do that, if that's what makes them happy, then by all means do that, you know.
Yeah.
So, and also with women who are in the workforce, if you want to do that, by all means do that. So
that's I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either. It's your life. Like, what you do with your life has no reflection on me in terms of, like, my race, my ethnicity, my gender, my religion, nothing. So when people, I know a lot of women who get almost like offended or angry when they hear women are, you know, oh, you're just a housewife. It's like,
yeah,
dude, that's what she wants.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
leave her alone.
Yep.
You know, so
yeah, it's terrible.
To each their own,
terrible,
is what I say.
I had a bad Tinder experience.
Ooh, do
week.
Tell, do tell.
Well, actually, it was going fine. She was a nice girl, and we were, you know, having some drinks or whatever.
It was really a dude, wasn't it?
I got a good story.
Okay.
Not involving me, thank God,
okay,
but a friend of mine. But so we're having a good time. We're having drinks. And then she goes, you know, they say you shouldn't talk about politics or religion on first dates. I'm like, yep, pretty much follow that. That seems about right. She goes, not me. I don't do that. Who did you vote for? And I went, what's that?
Yeah.
And she went, who did you vote for? You know, and I was just like, I don't really feel comfortable talking about
She was
this.
Kind of aggressive about it, it sounds.
Yeah. It sounded like if I gave the wrong answer, there was
she was going to walk out the door.
Or a scene was going to be caused.
Oh, wow. And when was this date?
Was it Monday?
Oh, okay.
Just
very recently.
Day.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm
yeah,
excited.
Yeah.
Do tell.
So, well, that was, I guess that's pretty much it. But after that, I just kind of finished up my drinks. Hey, it was fun, you know.
You didn't answer.
No, I didn't answer.
I can almost say with certainty who she did vote for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know because she said, well, you know, this one guy, you know, told me he voted for Trump. I'm like, yeah, so did 50% of the country.
Yeah.
Do you want to alienate people? I said, that's a very, the people's politics is a very small part of
yeah.
who they are.
Yeah.
Because most politics is just fashion anyways.
Yeah.
Especially today.
Mm-hmm.
Most people care about jobs or, you know, the planet. Or
sure.
Something. That's their main concern. But, you know, running the spectrum there's a lot of vitriol on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's really small. And I kept saying, you know, the politics are a very small part of who people are.
She goes, nope. And I was just like,
oh, you seem open-minded.
Right,
yeah, I like to talk about politics, but I'm very open-minded. Like, I spoke to people who were almost like the same in terms of like their political affiliations, but they voted for different people, and I understand why. You know, although I am from California, a Jew from Southern California, raised in a liberal household, like I should be like a commie, you know, at this point. But I'm actually more conservative than most of my family.
Yeah.
Bizarrely enough.
I mean, I consider myself kind of like a libertarian.
I'm registered libertarian. So.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I did party affiliation just because I don't want to be a part of a group.
But then you can't vote in the primaries.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I kind of feel like anybody that comes out of the major parties is going to be just it's going to be garbage.
Yeah. When I moved to Florida, it was funny. I also wanted to register. I wanted to be independent because I didn't want to be under the label of a party. But
because if you're independent, then you're part of the independent party.
Oh, I think maybe I just want to do nonpartisan. No party, I think I was like nonpartisan. Yep. I didn't want to be labeled under anything. They told me I couldn't vote in the primaries in Florida if you're not registered with a party. So I remember being like, okay, libertarian. And the woman looked at me and she was just like, librarian? And I'm like, no, it's in there. I'm like, libertarian. And I just saw her like scrolling on the computer. And then she was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's a thing. It's real.
Yeah, it seems to be gaining
popularity and speed. Momentum. Yeah.
With libertarians, though, is they're so...
They're so rational for the most part and logical and thoughtful and secular that... Those aren't the people that are screaming. Those aren't the people that are being outrageous and as boisterous as like the, you know, either side, because they are more reasonable, typically, at least I've seen, more rational, more thoughtful. And so you really just don't hear the banter that you hear with the other two sides, I find.
Yeah, but then I've seen like the town halls where there's a guy with a boot on his head or a guy that gets nude and approaches the stage and does his speech nude.
Oh, so that, those really are the libertarians?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I need to do my research because I have not seen that.
It attracts the crazies for some reason.
Oh, okay. Well, now that all makes sense, so.
I think it's because libertarianism is so logical that sometimes it gets people with autism in it who are just like A plus B equals C, and then they're just weirdos.
Oh, wow. No, I haven't even pondered that at all. But to me, it reconciles with things that, you know, I believe in. Small government, stay out of my life. I should be able to live my life, you know.
Yeah.
As I please, and until it interferes with what you're trying to do, and then it's not okay, and then it, you know, breaches legality. So,
non-aggression principle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's about it. Yeah,
that's it.
I feel like I guess it is gaining some traction.
Absolutely, especially after Gary Johnson. Like, he did pretty well, I think. You know, and also with Ron Paul.
He's
put
really
libertarians on the map.
He was a libertarian, but was, you know,
running
as a
Republican. Yeah,
but not really.
Yeah,
I mean, he was not
kind of. But at least he kind of got the word out there on what it was. I feel a lot of people are libertarian, but they don't know what a libertarian is.
Yep.
So they don't. They're like, well, I feel like I kind of just want to do my own thing. I don't really care about what you do, but I just kind of want to do my own thing. Don't tell me how to live my life. And they're libertarians and they don't even know it. So,
have you ever taken the political spectrum test?
No.
It's long. It'll take you about an hour if you really do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're ever curious of where you fit on the spectrum, it's a good test to take.
Yeah.
And it's asked, like, you know, where do you sit on? And it gives you hypothetical scenarios.
Sure.
Multiple choice.
Okay.
So you can
maybe I'll look
own.
Into that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I fell centrist libertarian. Pretty much. So you have one side is authoritarian up top, libertarian, and I think the other side are conservative and liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like on this matrix like that.
I got
you. Kind of fall on that point. So I was like right in the center and then just like four shades down in the libertarian side.
Nice.
So I feel like that's a good place to be.
I think so.
Because I feel like I can relate
to either
everybody side.
And you understand where everybody's coming from.
Yep.
And that's how I approach politics. Even though like I have my own opinions, I'm not married to any ideas. I feel like even though I'm technically libertarian, I don't have any allegiance to anybody.
Yeah.
Like if you have a good argument and it's cogent and it makes sense, I'm happy to be persuaded. I feel like that's no one. People are their pride is so connected to them being right that they don't care what the truth is. Facts don't matter anymore. It's just about being right. For me, I'm happy to be like, damn, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. I guess you're right and I'm wrong. And it doesn't affect the way I feel about myself. I'm like, okay, I'm open-minded and I'm happy to be persuaded otherwise. So
yeah, I think that's a great place to be. If you get proven wrong, you learn something new.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not angry about it, and I feel like I'm happy to learn. And like I said, I'm happy to change my mind if your idea is better than mine. So
I think that kind of I'm sure it's existed long before this, but I remember with Carrie Bush when they were, I think that they were calling Carrie a flip flopper. Do you recall
Carrie
this?
Bush?
John Kerry.
John Kerry, yeah. Okay. I was like, who's Carrie Bush? John Kerry. I remember him being called a flip-flopper, but I honestly don't remember much else.
See, I don't have a problem with flip-floppers. I got more information in my...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know, yeah.
I changed my mind.
I think that's what he said, and I think that's fine. If you change your mind, you learn, you evolve, you grow. Your mind shouldn't stay the same. Your opinion should change depending on, you know, the information that you're exposed to, so...
And on a Hummel.
Yeah, almost.
Did it. I knew I was going to do it. From 102.5 The Bone, the BDRS, here on the homemade broadcast this week. So what's your plan with this radio thing?
What's my plan?
Do you have like a five-year plan?
Don't die. No, I'm just kidding. That's from an Adam Sandler movie.
See, I'm okay with that.
My five-year plan is, honestly, I don't have any sort of like definitive plan, like I need to have, you know, be an executive producer of this show or associate producer. That it's this business is very malleable. Things are constantly in flux and changing. I just want to progress as much as possible in this business. I love talk radio. I love listening to talk radio. I listen to The Bone a lot, and also NPR. Like, I'm addicted to NPR. Even at work, when I can't listen, you know, to the radio, I'll put on NPR TED Talks. Today I listen to like two or three of them, you know, as I just kind of did my work. So I just want to progress as much as I can in whatever capacity that is. If it's a podcast that takes off, if it's on terrestrial radio, I don't see myself getting like involved with TV, but like I'm open to anything, you know? So as long as I'm in the media and I'm talking and exchanging ideas, like I'm happy camper. So
yeah, there's, you know, can I confess something?
Yes.
Even though radio is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Don't listen to radio at all.
Really?
I don't have one in my car.
Okay.
It's broken. So that has something to do with it. But on my phone, I have everything that I want. I have Pandora for music, and it is not only genre specific, but artist specific.
Okay.
So you can just listen to whoever you want. And then podcasts. I can listen to what people that I like.
Yeah, well, you listen to talk radio, even if it's in a podcast medium, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I consider that talk radio. Like,
well, yeah, that's what I mean, but it's not really... it's hard, because I talk about this all the time, still trying to figure out where this radio thing is going. The people say it's dying. I don't think it's dying, but it definitely is going to transform.
Sure, and
years.
I think we were kind of talking about this a couple days ago when we were headed to the golf tournament about... You know, how lucrative is terrestrial radio going to be once everyone can get Wi-Fi in their cars?
Yes.
You know, like, because then you can listen to anything on demand whenever you want, commercial free. Why would you sit and listen to 21 minutes of commercials an hour when you don't have to, you know? So I'm not quite sure. I think the main pull with terrestrial radio is the fact that it is local. You know, they do bring in local people. They talk about places you've been or places you want to go. They put on local events. And that's something that obviously the podcast medium can't take advantage of, because it's, you know, they're podcasting from a little room and they're not putting on events usually. So I think that's really
great. I was running open mics. Yeah. Comedy open mics. And I do the homemade broadcast stand-up comedy open mic.
Okay, good.
So I'm glad that, you know, these things that I'm finding out we do here.
Yeah.
Stuff that I was already doing.
Yeah.
Makes me feel
good.
A little bit better.
Good. Yeah. I think that's the major pull, is just the locality, as everything is local with terrestrial radio, and you can relate and I think I saw him that day. You can come out and meet him. You know, it's way more interpersonal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, is it going to get even more hyper local, do you think, more than it already is?
I feel like it will move in the opposite direction more so, just when, with, like we said, with the advent of getting Wi-Fi in cars, maybe people would rather listen to, I don't know, Joe Rogan on demand anytime, 24/7, or Howard Stern or something like that, once they do have Wi-Fi in their cars. I know a lot of people do have XM, but it's not like automatic Windows is. You know, once it becomes that regular, I think that radio will transform a little bit.
I think even like podcasts, well, you see it now. There's networks, podcast networks. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do with this HMB radio thing, is find people who are podcasting that I like, or, you know, that I think are okay or whatever, and then kind of add them to the roster.
Okay.
So now, I mean, I did have a few shows, and now James moved away. He was doing my mom's favorite podcast. He moved up to Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then I had a buddy that I started this podcast with. And then he had a baby and moved away.
That baby,
and,
though.
Man, I get you every time. And so then he's, you know, she's older now, and he's a talented guy. I think he's a really funny guy. So he was doing a podcast, and then it's just classic. This guy just stopped showing up.
Oh, and the flake.
The flake.
The flake is the worst. I hate flakes.
I do too.
A lot. I mean, I will be unhappy almost like the whole night, or force myself to go out just so I don't have to deal with the cognitive dissonance of being a flake when I hate flakes so much.
Yeah, I struggle with that. You don't want to say no to people. Like, I don't.
Oh, I don't mind
like
saying no, but if I commit to something, I have to follow through with it.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So I like to say, I'm happy to say no at the beginning, but if they kind of swindled me in and then suddenly, you know, it turns out, oh man, I really don't feel like getting ready. For females, it's quite a bit of a process usually. You know, it's like, oh, come to this event, and then the drive and then the drinking, and how am I going to, where's the parking? It's like, oh, it's just a mess. So I have to be really, you know, in it.
Yeah, I wonder if that has to do with being 30, too. Ouch. Did you worry about that when you were 29?
Ouch. Yeah, I did. I was still a lazy
you still
POS,
did.
Yeah.
I think I did, too, but I would be like, all right, I'll figure it out. But now that is a big concern for me. Like, going to Tampa, I'd never go to Tampa.
I've
just over the bridge.
I've been to South Tampa out at night one time, and I've been here for a year and 3 months.
Yeah.
So I'm all about St. Pete, man. It's local. It's easy. Uber here and there.
But it's just that bridge. It seems like things are so far away.
Yeah.
But they're really not.
And I just don't like the, I don't mind the South Tampa vibe, but when I went out, and again, I don't have like a huge sample size, but of what I've heard from other people, and when I went out the very few times, a few Sunday fun days, but it's a very college-y sort of frat-tastic vibe, and not that I mind that, that's
sure,
great, but you know, sometimes it's just a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like St. Pete is a little bit more relaxed. I like that.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, I'm sure it's the case in Tampa too, we just don't know Tampa as well, but you can go to a bar and just sit and have a drink with your friend or whatever.
Yeah,
you don't have to like hear loud music
and... right, and sometimes I'm in the mood for that, but a lot of times in my older, more advanced age, I just kind of want to sit and chill.
Yeah, I feel you too.
So
I just sat yesterday. I had some free time, and it was raining, and I didn't even know I was doing it, but I was just sitting in silence, just listening to the
rain.
It's
actually really nice.
It was beautiful.
That sounds really attractive, actually.
And then I was like, I think I have Asperger's or something. I need to start moving around. What am I doing?
No, it's funny. I've started to listen to podcasts or like NPR TED Talks at night, and it's so bizarre because your mind is getting stimulation, but you're not getting any visual stimulation. So I feel like when I would do that, I would start playing on my phone. But when I'm playing on my phone, I'm not really paying attention to the podcast. So I like force myself to put down the phone and just listen and just focus on the words and what they're saying. And it's very tranquil. It's very relaxing. So
yeah, I have trouble with that. Just zoning out.
Yeah.
I like to have the noise sometimes, but sometimes I just zone out too.
I like white noise. Like I enjoy the rain, the sound of the rain. Well, especially when I'm not in the rain, you know, at night. It's it's very nice.
Yeah. What's your favorite part about summer?
My favorite part about summer, I mean, in Michigan that was easy because I'm like not snow. But here, I mean, to me it's like summer year round pretty much.
Yeah,
I like the summer vibe. It's fun, beach parties. It's more like a vibe because last summer I didn't really have any friends. I was single, you know. I really didn't have anybody to hang out with. And when I'm single, it's not like, oh, I'm like hanging out and partying. It's like I literally have no friends and I'm gonna just go and hang out with myself at the beach. I mean, again, I had only been in Florida for like 2 or 3 months. So I didn't have, like, a huge network. I still don't. But, you know, now I have a boyfriend, so I have, like, a default friend all the time. But I enjoy more just, like, the summer vibe. Like, you know, just knowing that there are parties out there, even if I'm not attending them,
yes,
like, gives me comfort, I guess.
Right. What are we at on time?
36.
36. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll do another thing. I don't go to the beach.
You don't go to the beach?
Nope.
Never have?
Well, I mean, of course I've been.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like going, though. Like, I went 6 months ago
okay,
or so. And I think it was still winter out, actually, so it was pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's the beach stinks.
Okay. It's not
wind
for everybody.
Is blowing, you're getting sand everywhere. I don't go in the water because I'm afraid.
Okay.
So I don't need to be there.
I like the beach. I don't necessarily need to go in the water. I'm not a huge water person, despite living by water my entire life. But I recently went to Siesta Key about 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I don't get in the water, and I was just flopping around like a fish. It was great. I mean, it's the number one rated beach in the United States.
It is
so
nice.
I had driven by it, but I'd never been in the water. So my friend came out to visit along with my sister for my 30th, which was really nice. And so we went to Siesta Key and just, like, you know, just dove in the water.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I always love those pictures of, like, they'll be like, first day of summer, since we're recording. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Recording on the first day of summer today,
yeah.
By the way. There's an over-the-head shot, and there's some loser just, like, waving at the helicopter, and
yeah.
Surrounded by sharks.
Oh, no.
Sharks everywhere.
No,
yeah.
Thank
he's
you.
He's just oblivious.
No,
but
thank
I'm,
you.
I know they won't hurt you, but they don't come up here. I'm not going in there.
Oh, no, sharks will hurt you.
They potentially could.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't even like fish. Like, forget about sharks. I don't like large fish.
Yeah.
I don't like the way they feel. I don't like them dead or alive. I'm surprised how far I went in Siesta Key, but it was so nice and it was gorgeous. And I felt like there were a lot of other people around me to get eaten first. So I was like, all right, I'm protected.
Anna Hummel, thank you very much for
coming
on.
Thank you so much for having me, Will. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Can you give your social media so people can find you?
Yes, please. Instagram is blessed_AF_. Wait, hold on. Can we cut this out?
No, just keep going.
Radio. Okay, sorry. I always get my all confused.
Blessed_AF_radio.
My Twitter is @AnnaHummelRadio. You can find me on Facebook, but, you know, if I don't know you, I probably won't, you know, accept your friend request. What else is there? Twitter, Instagram. That's pretty much it.
BDRS,
Johnny B Show.
TheBoneOnline.com.
BoneOnline.com. You'll find my face sporadically there. So, again, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
No problem.
All right. Bye.
All right. There you go. Anna Hummel, 102.5 The Bone, BDRS. The Sex I'm Not Having podcast. Be sure to check it out. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's jazz show coming to you direct from Seminole, Florida, from his jazz room. Believe it or not, I know. And then the indie circuit is coming up after that here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Check a replay tomorrow, 10:15, or I think 10:15, right? I think. And subscribe, HMBRadio.com. Check out HomemadePodcast.com. Reach your clients through podcasting. Fathom that. I know. New world, new mediums. The world's moving, folks. Don't get left behind. HomemadePodcast.com. My name is Will Koontz. Thank you for tuning in to the Homemade Broadcast this week. I love you, okay? I've been afraid to say it for a long time, but I can't allow these feelings to continue anymore without letting you know. Thank you very much. I will talk to you next week. Goodbye. Until then.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.